All right, so first off, we're going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 6. You have Isaiah chapter 6 in front of you, and it'd be a good idea to hold, put, you know, fold your paper over, put a bookmark in, whatever affords your need to read the Bible as for saving this book, and prove it is that. So Isaiah chapter 6, I'm reading the first 10 verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two wings they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen a king, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." It's the first reading from Isaiah chapter 6. We're turning over to Luke chapter 5, and I'm reading the first 16 verses. It's very familiar if you're listening to kids talk, obviously. So Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 16. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded you for your cleansing, as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to hear of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
As is my custom with all ages talks, what I'd like to do is, just extend what I've already unpacked with the kids. I do expect you to be paying attention as best you're able when I'm speaking to the kids, because usually the heart of the message there is the heart of the message for us, and then I just want to expand it out for us into our lives and take a little while to do that. But the main message is the same. Following Jesus means fishing for those who are far from him, following Jesus' intuition for those who are far from him. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Now, Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word to us and reflect on that story, a story from what seems like ancient history to us, and yet as we read it, we are conscious that there are a lot of similarities between us today and then back then. There's a crowd listening to the word of God, perhaps some of them struggling to hear or hold our attention to the speaker. We're also people like Simon Peter, who just occasionally in our lives we have a crushing realization of the gap between us and God. And like Isaiah in the Old Testament as well, we have this sense of how far we are from you through our sin, or perhaps through our drifting or our disobedience, or some other damage that we're dealing with in our lives at the present time. So, Lord, may we, each of us here today, have the ears to hear the call of Jesus this morning, not only for our own personal benefit, but for the good of those around us, others like us who need to be fished out and found and find their place following the forgiving God. So would you help us, we ask, in Jesus' name. If you are taking notes, here's the big idea. Following Jesus means fishing for those far from him. Well, I think we have a slide. Let's see if I can get it working. Well, there it is. Following Jesus means fishing for those who are far from him. And to extend that message to us, I'll just leave that up for a minute, but to extend that message for us, I have seven points, so we're not going to fit them in on your sheet if you have the three. You're going to have to draw some line. The vital things are, I don't know how you're going to do it, but whatever. I have seven, not three, seven very quick little headings for us. And if you take notes, you want to count to seven, and they're all F words. And the first is finished. Finished. The passage actually starts, I wonder if you noticed this, in quite an unusual place because it begins with a word that is finished. Did you notice that there in Luke chapter 5, early on in the passage? And I don't mean the fishermen as in finished their night's work. No, someone else is finished. And the reason that I think we need to hear this is perhaps especially for the crowd amongst us and those who get to thinking that sometimes the church just wouldn't work without us. Without me, without the contribution that I bring here every week, does anyone even notice? Some of us, you know, the church couldn't go on without us, needs us. And the point here is, no, Jesus, he didn't need his disciples. He chose his disciples. He wanted his disciples. He desired to involve and include them in his work. But as for Jesus, actually at the very start of this passage, his work is finished. Oh, look at me in verse 1 chapter 5, where we read, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out from the shore, and then he sat down and taught the people from the boat when he had finished speaking. Friends, we do not commission lords of the church, nor saviors of the church, nor do we send anyone out into our mission. Luke's gospel has shown us that Jesus came to heal a hurting world that could not help itself. Jesus came to do that. So when he finished speaking, firstly finished, secondly failed. So finished and failed. Read with me from verse 4. We're going to be rattling through these points at quite a pace, by the way. When he finished speaking, verse 4, he said to Simon, whose name is also Peter, by the way, in case that trips you up, Simon Peter. He said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Going on in the contrast there between the work of Jesus and the work of the fishermen. I think we actually need to be careful in how we handle a text like this. I don't think it's fair to Luke's intent to contrast the failure of secular work, you might say, so fishing all night, with the success of Jesus' preaching. Look at Jesus' cash and look at theirs. So spend your life on fishing for men, because fishing for fish has no value, it lacks worth, it doesn't count for anything. No, I think that's quite what the passage is trying to push us towards. And yet I suspect we are supposed to see something here. Their work in this particular case has left them empty apart from Christ. Their labour has proved luckless apart from God and his intervention. And I think that's the point. It's the apart from Christ, apart from God. For where were they as Christ taught and preached and finished and found his own catch of followers there on the shore? I think the text suggests to us they were apart from Christ. They've been working all night. They were washing their nets, even as Jesus was speaking. This is not to say that all secular work rings hollow or amounts to nothing, that the only work of any worth is gospel work. No, no. But are we perhaps supposed to see the failure of work without Jesus, work that has been far from Christ in his teaching, a godless work that ultimately fails us? I think we must handle this gently and thoughtfully and carefully, and probably through conversation back and forth. But sometimes good and worthwhile work that's with God will leave us feeling spent and exhausted and at the end of our ability. And that's not a bad thing in itself. But friend, if you are laboring through life apart from the Lord, then perhaps you know something not only of the failure that these men felt, but the futility that effort alone cannot fulfill. It's worth pondering. So firstly, finished, failed, and thirdly, fallen. Verse 5, halfway through verse 1, where Simon says, I will let down the nets. When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell on Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And I say this very much with myself in mind, as well as Christian and Nathaniel and Jess and Isaac. May it never be a small thing in our eyes that we partner in the catch of the risen Lord Jesus himself. And I suppose also to the purpose team leaders and ministry leaders, the skidlets and skids leaders, has it become commonplace to us that we partner with the Lord in his catch? We read from Isaiah, the prophet, what was his response there to God's presence in his life? It was a horror that God should use his lips, his words, his feeble little frame, to go and speak the word of God to God's own people. Now, we need to remember Christ does not owe me a place in the leadership of his church. He doesn't owe you and I. In fact, if he dealt with me as my sin deserves, I would never leave, not in this church nor in any other. You see that in Simon Peter here, you see it in Isaiah. Are we able to maintain that sense? Peter sees the glory, just a glimpse of the glory of the hand of God in Jesus. When Jesus directs him to go out and find fish, try again, put the nets down again, put them over there. Peter sees a glimpse of the glory of the hand of God in Jesus. And I wonder if we still see that glory amongst us. It's funny, you can become obscured, I think. You can become obscured by rosters, systems, and can become obscured by disappointments, by busyness, by ungodliness. And yet Jesus would have them, fish. Next, anyway, fish. which I interpret not as a call to select a few, or to a select few, sorry, but as a partnership of God with humankind, right? So what's going on in Luke chapter 5? Is it that there are a limited few who have been picked out here for a role of leadership amongst the people of God? I think as Luke presents it, it's not so much in that light. The extraordinary thing here is the partnership of God with any humans. I think that's what Simon makes of it, and I think that's what we're to make of it in this particular context. Luke presents it like it's a weird thing that Jesus would share his saving work with anyone rather than be about these particular few. They are mere sinners who Christ yet calls to fish, get on a fish. Verse 9 of Luke chapter 5. He and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. I do wonder if this is significant in the text, that Jesus calls them not when their nets are empty. Did you notice that? I reckon Jesus would have had an effective call on their lives had he asked them before sending them out to fish, don't you? They were stuffed. They had a terrible evening. They caught nothing. Give me something worthwhile to do, you see? No, Jesus doesn't call them when their nets are empty. As failures and desperate and hungry and staring down the barrel of, I don't know, the end of the Galilean fishing industry as they knew it in their day. No, he calls them when their nets are full and their boats are sinking in fish. And I suspect that we're supposed to ask, will we see fishing for people as the work we would gladly give ourselves to? Whatever our role, whether we're employed by the church or not, will we see fishing for people as the work we gladly give ourselves to only when our other nets are empty in life? And if our career doesn't work out, or as the work we would gladly abandon full nets to pursue from time to time? For we have been gripped by the gospel and call of our Lord. Is that where the word of God fits in our lives, whatever our career is? 16, follow. Now, Jesus doesn't send them far away, far from him to fish, like fishermen starting their own little franchise, but rather to follow. That is the direct result of the call to fish. Verse 11, have a look down there. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. But I wonder, can we read on? Because I think it's here that we see where following is going to take us and where following is going to take them. I want you to fish for people, says Jesus. And then he fishes one very particular man. I think it's as an example. So please answer me this in your own mind as I read this next little section. Why does the man that we're about to meet, why does he ask for and why does he receive not a healing, but a cleansing? He could have asked for a healing from leprosy. He probably would have got it, but he doesn't. He asks instead to be cleansed. Let me read the story to you. Just ponder that in your own mind if you could. Of course you can, if you would, please. Verse 12 of chapter 35. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing, as a testimony to them." Yet the news about it spread of the law, so the crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I've been advancing the slide. Sorry if it's thrown you off, notetakers. The last point was faithful. I'll come back to my question about cleansing in just a second. The last point was faithful. Jesus remains faithful. Right, so what we see here is Jesus, he has a crowd of fish there, people, that is, a crowd before him, like a school of fish. And yet, Jesus remains faithful. You see that in that very last verse. It's not growth at all costs. It's not winning converts by whatever means. No, crowds came, and crowds continued to come and flock to him. And what did he do? He went off and prayed. He knew whom he served. He knew the purpose for which he was sent from the end of last chapter 4. He was faithful to that purpose. But running back up a little bit, what do you make of that verse 12? Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And this is a leper who's speaking to him. And notice Jesus doesn't just say the words, he reaches out his hand and touched the man by animal. We serve a Saviour who is willing to touch a leper so that that man might find his way back to God, which in their language was go and show yourself at the temple and so forth. We follow one who means to find those who are farthest from God, furthest from him, who have failed and fallen, and he calls us to fish for them. For them. That's the very next thing after you go and fish for people. He goes and shows us this particular example. Brothers and sisters, and I say this to myself and to the new elders and to the existing elders and to my staff team, but to all of us together as a whole church, because I think it's something that we have to carry together and striving together. Following Jesus means fishing for those far from him. Are we doing that? Can we do that? Will we do that together this year? Shall we pray? Now, dear Heavenly Father, you have fished for us. We are part of your great catch. And it's not because we have what it takes. It's not as if you needed us. Christ is all the Saviour that this world will ever need. And may you fill our eyes and our minds and our imaginations and our longings. And yet you are pleased. You are pleased to call us to fight. Father, help us please to do just that. Not to stay stuck right where we are, but to follow, actively moving, fishing and finding and helping those who are far from you to find their joy in Jesus, their forgiveness and their repair. We confess, Father, too much of our time and our attention, too much of our frustration and our anxiety and our anger, our enthusiasm is focused on our little earthly catch, so to speak. And we have little passion or drive or even desire for having the catch, or fishing for people. God, would you forgive us? Would you change us? We pray as a whole church and for your glory, send us out to that great task in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing.